Hey everyone, welcome to the Sun Sessions podcast. I'm Lorenzo of Sun System, and I'm also here with Corey and Christopher of Sun System. In this podcast, we connect with local Arizona-based artists to discuss and dissect their creative process, stripping away each layer from initial inspiration to the final product. For episode one, we focus our attention on Panic Baby, formerly known as The Real Fits. Panic Baby is vocalist Raquel Willen, guitarist Jared Wood, bassist Nick Smith, and drummer Devin Russell. We're going to dive into their single, Don't Lie to Me, off their monthly singles project. At the end of the episode, we'll play the track, so stick around until the end. We start off with them talking about their dynamic together outside of music, and most importantly, how they apply that same chemistry into writing sessions.
Yeah, so usually, I feel like most of our songs are written, actually Jared usually starts playing something, and usually I feel like you're not even thinking about, like it's nothing like you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I had this riff prepared. It's usually you're just like playing. Fucking around on the...
It's usually when I'm super stoned.
Yeah. So these are all...
Fuck, when we write our best stuff is when we're all relaxed, just having
not
a good
trying.
Time. Yeah, yeah, not even trying, like something just... Someone's like, oh, I like that. Keep mm-hmm. playing that.
And yeah, then it'll yeah. we'll just kick it.
Which
it.
I, skyrocket. I also think that the basis of our relationship is we're just all such, we just all genuinely love each other, that there's not really an ego involved in our relationships as friends, mm-hmm. as people, or when we're working together. Like, we constantly need each other's input because we just know it's never going to be what we want mm-hmm. by ourselves, but together it's like beyond what we could even want.
Yeah. Coming into this band later, it was really interesting because I think I saw once I started officially playing that that everybody here understands that making music is so personal. And when you create a part that right. you think is great, like yeah. you have to know the right ways to one, criticize it, and then two, as the person who wrote it, you have to say 100% of my ideas aren't going to be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think we do a really good job trusting each other to say, I like this, I don't like this, right. and to not take that personally when it's something that doesn't make a final
For
cut.
Sure.
Now we hear Jared and Nick breaking down the evolution of the song from a handful of improvised lyrics slowly transforming into the final product.
Me, Devin, and Nick usually write out some sort of basic structure to a song mm-hmm. and then give Raquel the opportunity to layer in her vocals and decide like where she wants the verse, where she wants the chorus, yada, yada, yada. And then we rewrite the song more or less, restructure it. Mm-hmm. And then that goes through multiple phases. And I think that's a really beautiful way to write because we're constantly what our songs start as, the end result almost doesn't even sound like what it started as.
Yeah.
Don't's a good a perfect example. Don't's a perfect example of that because it started out in a different key with different parts, and the thing that really got it going was Raquel. We were just jamming it out one day. Raquel didn't really have lyrics for it at the time, but you were doing the lie to me. And we were just like, that's catchy. That's the hook right there. Like, yeah. we need to build the song around that mm-hmm. part.
Yeah.
And so we figure out, well, that's the chorus. So we kind of retrofitted the structure around, like, what that hook was right there.
Right.
No, yeah.
Well, it started with Nick's bass riff. And then we kind of just jam it quite often every practice. But I think for a while we... took it serious jamming it, but never took it serious writing it. We just kind of had a lot going on, and then we decided to write it, and then pretty much when we had it written, I only had the chorus, and I don't think I had words for that song or really even a melody for a long time until I think we were playing at a show the next day, and then that's when I was like, I really need words. But I cannot procrastinate on this. But at that point, I kind of had a general melody, and that just really became from like trying so many different things and being so unsure, because I had the line, "Don't lie to me," and I was like, and then the whole chorus, I pretty much had all the words, and I had no idea what that even meant. And I had no idea how to even write based off that, because I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And I couldn't change the words. I tried, but nothing just fit as well.
As they continue to work on the song, Raquel gives us her insight on the lyrics, "Lie to Me," and how those few words, while ambiguous to her, became the foundation for the rest of the lyrics.
We hadn't written for a year, so it's kind of like backlog and just processing the past year, but it's more of like a sarcastic tone rather than like a scorn tone. Mm. And it's just basically, for me, how I view it is I just am saying like I'm more aware than you thought. And so I'm like just calling him out and be like, don't lie, because I know right. everything that you think I don't, but I'm just like, I know it. So yeah. Just don't do it. Just don't lie.
Do it. Just don't.
But I don't think I just had "Don't Lie to Me," and then I said, "Don't what rise in me," and I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, and I tried so hard to like make it to where I could consciously understand it, and it just was awful. And I tried so many different variations, and I think that's what took me so long. I was just trying so many different things, because I was like, I don't understand this, I don't know how to elaborate on it. Mm-hmm. I tried like different tones of the song or different moods or thoughts, and then the pressure of having to play it the next day. We had it demoed at the time, or I think it was just my phone recording of it instrumentally, and so I played it on like our Bluetooth speaker, and I just had a joint. And Jared was home, I was just by myself, and I blasted it, and I was just dancing around. And I had like a general melody at some point, because I tried so many things, and like thankfully the guys were like, "That sounds really good. You should really keep that." And I'm like, mm-hmm. "Okay, like thank you." So I just really, it just came, and I think it just took part of like that trying to process it, and then realizing not worth it. Yeah. I'm never gonna know, and then it just all came out even better than I could have consciously decided. It just came from that like relaxed mindset where I didn't care anymore, right. or I wasn't afraid, and I didn't. Usually when I write, I'm just like, I hope this doesn't suck. Yeah. And I just have to constantly remind myself, I'm just going to write, and then like it doesn't matter if it sucks or if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I can rework it. I can make it better. I just, the act of constantly doing it. I think it comes from a true feeling and a situation that happens to how I perceive the situation. And that's the same mindset, but I'll like write a different story sometimes. But it's always the same mindset, and it's always the same feeling. But I mean, it's just more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more creative, just to really expand on that into a song. And sometimes just like how important or how much I feeling that the situation might not warrant that, I write a song that matches that.
Now that the lyrics are complete, a very important component to the song is addressed. Nick and Raquel explain the key change they made. This specifically highlights their flexibility when it comes to composing, generating a creative chain reaction with their engineer, Dominic Armstrong.
One of the things I wanted to mention, though, is that the song actually went through a key change, because yeah. Raquel did not feel that the power of the vocals was good in the range the songs were originally written.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was in, I want to say G? Yeah, it was originally in G, and we moved it down to F.
F.
It moved down, yeah, it moved down, down
to F. I'm curious to hear the before.
Yeah, so
it was just like all head voice.
Yeah.
And so I go to my vocal teacher quite often, and the way I was like, okay, it wasn't consistent singing-wise. I could never consistently do it well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I really need help. And she's like, I think you should just move the key down. And we practice it, and I'm like, ah! And so I was like kind of timid to bring it to the guys. I was like, so
yes.
I was like, what do you think about changing the key? And they're like, okay, it doesn't really change anything. And I was like, oh my God, thank you.
She changed a lot, because I think I pretty much rewrote almost all my bass parts after that. Mm. But it moved my bass up into, because I was playing it on a very low part of the bass when it was in G.
Yeah.
And then when I started playing in F, it was too low. So I kind of moved them all up to the higher part of the neck. And I think it actually kind of matched help match what your voice is doing. So yeah. It's not like all this low end just kind of by itself. It's kind of more complementing the guitar.
Yeah. So hearing that, I was obviously like, okay, this is going to be a really groovy song. So that was all I was going for initially. I know Dom had a couple of suggestions like, during choruses, I think I was on the ride, but now I'm just on the hi-hat doing like a little sizzle every now and then. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure it stayed very groovy feeling.
Now it's studio time. In this section, we get into gear talk and how their engineers' influence helped build each instrument's role for a balanced and cohesive sound.
I know that we try to live track everything, like amps and stuff like that. We don't do too much DI, so I think we did two mics on the bass amp, played through my Gehling-Krueger, or Jared's Gehling-Krueger. I pretty much played through all my pedals, like the pedals that I use live. We really didn't do much.
You want to tell us what those are?
I use a Sans amp. trying to do that
I'm
using that thing.
The TC. What's it called? A compressor pedal by the TC. The little tiny TC.
The Spectra.
Yeah, the Spectra comp. And this cheap equalizer I bought at Milano's Music. I don't even remember the name of it.
But one thing about us, we are not gearheads.
No, yeah. People try to talk to us about gear and we're like, I know it sounds good. I really don't know too much what it's doing, but
it's cool.
I
don't know.
Yeah, like
looks nice.
I know when the tone is what it is needed for that song.
Like I said, I'll never be the biggest gearhead. I find what I like and I run with it and I don't need to know the details and I'm perfectly okay with that. This whole song was on my Telecaster going through my deluxe reverb, and that combo has always been beautiful. I think the distortion was all through the Rat pedal, which Dom introduced us to. I used to only go through the Tube Screamer, and I love that as well, and I still use that. But the Rat, ever since we started recording with them, like, I fucking love that sound, and that's become our sound.
It's definitely contributed a lot more to the rockin' sound.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of tremolo on there, and that's all added after the fact, actually. I didn't use a pedal for that anything. Yeah.
It sounds great on that fucking song, by the way.
Yeah, I love it.
I love the tremolo on that.
And then the harmonizer plays a huge part on all the choruses. Get it cranked all the way to the right. You have the three layers of harmony. And it just added that. And that was I think that was the last detail we added to that song.
Yeah,
the
we chorus, were like messing with the chorus. And we're just like, what does this need to kind of fill it out? And just like those harmonizer notes, very reminiscent of Rat-A-Tat right there.
Oh, yeah. And I fucking love Rat-A-Tat.
I wore a Rat-A-Tat shirt to my first practice.
That's when we knew.
I want these guys to think I'm cool.
Nick walked to the door and he had a Rat-A-Tat shirt on. Our first words to each other. You like Rat-A-Tat? We shook hands.
Yeah.
Mics for the guitar. There was one room mic a ways off and then one right up against the right up against the amp. I think for every part. For that song. The really cool thing about this song is, for the most part, like, other songs that we've released have been started with a guitar lick. A song starts with, the song will evolve into whatever based on everybody's contributions. But this one was purely the bass and drums, and I loved that so much. Layering in my parts after the fact that the bass was there and I could just go in and out as I wanted and not conflict with the vocals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of like I think we're still getting this down better and better when I should be playing compared to when Raquel's singing.
Yeah.
And what I should be doing, that whole thing. That relationship is very key.
More the call and response.
Yeah, the call and response,
like,
for sure.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very fun song to write.
There are a lot of guitar layers in there that I don't think are immediately apparent, but like upon a closer listen, I think you like the guitars can be complicated but not intrusive in this song, which I really like.
Oh yeah.
So for the vocals, what we did when we recorded that song was we did it all at the same time. And so I just had just a handheld microphone, and I was in just like the bathroom, actually, because there's like a bathroom right where the drums are. And then we just ran through it a few times, and that was pretty much like the main take. And then after we did everything else, then I went back and had another microphone with like a further away one.
Yeah, and Raquel likes to sing completely in the dark.
I do.
Really?
She is completely in darkness, and we'll show up and just like...
They have like Christmas lights, or like some decorative lights I unplug.
She's gotta make the mood
right.
She
doesn't want anyone to see what she's doing.
No, because there's a window, and then they're just all sitting in the other room looking at me. I'm like,
it is weird.
Don't look at me.
Staring at one person.
I'm just trying to do...
Don't look at me.
Look at me. But even when we just did that, when we all recorded at the same time, I was just really nervous because I was the least of the focus. And then Dom was like, we'll use that as the main track. And I was like, oh, no problem. I sing with them and practice all the time. But then I was like, oh, my God, I think I just messed up with this part. And then Dom wouldn't acknowledge it. And then every time I'd be like, did I mess up or did I not? Like, am I hitting this part? Am I not? And so... that part was kind of just like, oh, I just got nervous, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But then we went back to it later that day, and then I think we used one of those main tracks, and then we used like a further off microphone. I think it was distorted a little bit.
Possibly.
I really don't pay attention. Dom just...
I just work here, guys.
Yes. I just trust him.
Dom's a mad scientist when it comes to mics.
I just listen back to it and I'm like, thank you, Dom. But there was a close one and a far off one.
Yeah.
And then I think it was the combination for the chorus especially to get not a chorus feel, but kind of just the depth and the width of the vocals.
Atmospheric.
And that, and that added a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
When we were actually recording it, I think we used probably 6 or 7 mics on the drum set.
Wow.
Which is another reason why it takes forever. But it sounds awesome.
I know
so,
all about
yeah,
that.
I don't complain.
One drum at a time.
I think for me, when it's like, okay, listen to this take, what do you think? And I'll hear like, oh, I was this much off here and here here. And everyone else will be like, dude, chill out. Like, nobody except for you is ever going to hear that. And so...
we'll talk later, man.
Yeah. There's some spots in the song where I wanted another take or maybe to, like, use some computer editing magic and, like, make these a little bit more exact. But,
trigger.
Hearing it now... I appreciate that more live feel of the bass and drums
and
so much more.
Dominic definitely contributes to that because he's like, that was awesome. I like the sound that it sounds like you guys are playing it live. Like, he's got that more like raw feel to it rather than just like, this is the perfect version of this song.
It's like a little bit of an echo.
Yeah,
space.
Like, it's just
the
song in that moment. Like, this is what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, going into the last pre-chorus or I don't know, whatever we'd call it. I do something like and to my ear I was like, oh, that's awful. But it stayed in there totally untouched, and now like you feel like it helps change the pace of the song a little bit and feel more organic than it probably would have sounded if I got my way. But I'm super happy with how it turned out, and the recording process is usually really, really easy for us.
As a bonus, towards the end of the interview, we asked them if there were any Easter eggs not immediately noticeable upon first listen.
From the whole outro on and during the choruses, there's a very faint clap. That's like all 4 or 5 of us were in the room clapping together. And there's one little part where I had this idea, like on the bridge where Raquel says... what's the line?
Anya.
Anya. Yeah.
And there's a pause there, like, and I was like, why don't all of us just say that together? Like, doo doo, Anya. And we all like shout that together. And it You don't notice it.
It's buried really, but it's, really deep.
It's right on the bridge. Texture. All of us are yelling that together, and like you can hear it in her voice.
Oh, nice.
Which is one of those things that like, kind of threw in there last second.
So to recap, we covered the dynamic in and out of the band, the writing process, their song's key change, and their studio collaboration together with their engineer. We want to thank Panic Baby for being our inaugural guests. Don't forget to follow them on their website, Instagram, Facebook, Bandcamp, and Spotify, which are all linked to the blog. A special thanks to Christopher and Corey, and be sure to catch our episode 2 in January 2018, which will feature Celebration Guns. I'm Lorenzo. Thank you for tuning in to Sun Sessions. Here is Panic Baby's single, Don't Lie to Me. So